And today I want us to look at the stone of the past. Now keep your finger here in 1 Samuel, because we're going to come back to it. But I want you to flip over to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, look with me at verses 12 through 14. The words of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not claim to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to win the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One of the things that happened when David took these stones and when he faced Goliath, was it jogged David's memory. Elah, the place where this encounter took place, was a deja vu experience for David. While everyone else quivered, David remembered. God had given David the strength to wrestle a lion and to strong arm a bear. And as David is with King Saul, David recounts these stories about his past to Saul. We see in the 33rd verse here of the 17th chapter of Samuel, if you'll flip back there right quick, if you're still holding your finger there. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting from his youth." And then verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God.'" I want you to think this morning about what is behind you. What are the things in your past? As we were traveling to the Republic of Georgia, we had to spend about 9 hours in Munich on our way there. We flew from Cincinnati to Chicago, Chicago to Munich, and we had a rather lengthy layover in Munich. And that was not a problem at all for me and Nina. We could survive, but Anna Maria, she didn't like this lengthy travel a whole lot. And of course, she was kind of fussy and irritated. You know, sleep patterns had gotten thrown off and all of this. So you know, we're getting kind of tired in the airport there in Munich. And Nina and I were trying to take turns catnapping, one of us watching Anna Maria while the other one sleeps a little bit. And we discovered something that just absolutely fascinated Anna Maria. And that was the moving sidewalks. In the Munich airport, they have these moving sidewalks that go on for probably in stretches of about 100 yards. I mean, they were really long. And, oh, goodness, they were a godsend, because Anna Maria, she just loved them. She never got tired of playing on them. So me and Nina, we just took turns. Each one of us, about 20, 30-minute stretches. We'd get on these moving sidewalks with her, and she would play. She would want to run backwards on them. She would want to try to sit down on the edge where it wasn't moving and fall on her little bottom. And I noticed that if I didn't pay attention to what she was doing behind me, I would lose her. And I kept having to look over my shoulder and to look behind me to see if she was okay, to see if she was following me or if she was running the other direction. And so as I was playing with her on these moving sidewalks, I had to be paying attention to where we were going and what was in front of us, and the whole time being watching behind me to see what Anna Maria was doing. So many of us spend our lives looking back. We spend our lives looking at our pasts. So many of us have in our lives, this is the first point in your outline there, past regrets. Are there things in your life that you really regret? I know for me, I've been a missionary with the International Mission Board for going on 10 years now, with either the International Mission Board or right now the North American Mission Board, and hopefully for too much longer back with the International Mission Board. But, you know, that could have been so much more time. I graduated from seminary when I was 24 years old, and I just got stuck in Fort Worth for several years, much longer than I should have been there. I should have been on the mission field during that time. And a lot of people, they always try to be comforting, saying, oh, well, it was God's timing. No, it wasn't. I was not listening to God. I was not doing what God had told me to do. And it wasn't so much that I was being disobedient. I was being complacent where I should not have been. I should have been more aggressive towards getting on the mission field and doing what I knew God called me to do. And I've always regretted and felt like I wasted at least 5 years in Fort Worth, Texas, when I should have been on the mission field. And it's something that I really regret. But it's not something that I can ever change. What about you? Are there things in your life that you regret? That you just wish you either had done or hadn't done? And you're always looking back on that decision, remembering it. What about our past sins? Are there things in your life in the past that you did that you knew you should not have done? And you to this day are suffering the guilt of the sin for which God has already forgiven you of? You ever notice how hard it is for us to forgive ourselves? I know for me, it's a lot harder for me to forgive myself than it is to forgive someone else. And that's something I've told you. I never let anyone else's sin be held in my heart against them. Forgiveness for me is something God has taught me that I need to do, and I need to do instantaneously. And I don't have a whole lot of trouble forgiving others. But I have a lot of trouble forgiving myself. And there are things that I have done in my past as well, and the sins that I have committed that Satan reminds me of quite frequently to make me feel useless for the kingdom of God, to make me feel not worthy of the position that I am in as a missionary, as a pastor, even if it's just an interim pastor. Satan doesn't want me to feel like I have any business standing here today, and I don't. I don't. I stand here under the grace of God. And under His authority, not because I've earned it, not because I deserve it, not because I'm good enough, not because I attended and graduated seminary. It is only the grace of God. And it is that same grace of God that has forgiven all of those past sins. God has freed me of them. I am the only one who is still holding on to them. What about you? Are there sins in your past? I didn't want to throw out any examples here because I didn't want anybody to think that I knew something that I shouldn't know. So I'll just let you and your own conscience think about those sins in your past. Have you given them up to God and let yourself be free of them? The third one that I thought about as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about the past. The word pastime came to my mind. And I thought, okay, is that the word past time or past time? But I thought, you know, I'm gonna fit it in here. Because in a lot of ways, past time becomes for us wasted time. Now, we all know America's favorite pastime is baseball. But what is it in your life? What is it that you use to just pass time? In that time that you have that is free, that you use for yourself, is it time that you use for God? Is it time that you use to make yourself a better person? Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times we need to just relax. We need to veg out, to read a good book, to play a game. But it can become too much if that pastime for us becomes wasted time and we don't use that time for God. And I worry the farther along I get in life. You know, I'm at middle age right now. And actually, I'm past middle age. If you think about how old the average person is when they depart to this life. But the farther along I get, the more I notice the time that I have wasted in the past. And that past time for me becomes a regret. What about past memories? Past memories. Are you living in yesteryear? Are you stuck in a time period that has just come and gone, and you just can't seem to move out of it and to move along with the times? This world is a very fast-paced place, and I notice that things just really move, and if we're not careful, we can just get overwhelmed at how quickly society moves along. And that's one of my concerns about our Christian faith, is that if our Christian faith gets too outdated, then it's never going to reach the new and modern generation. And I'm not talking about compromising the gospel. I'm not talking about watering down the faith. I'm talking about keeping the faith relevant to people who need to hear it. And it is so wonderful to have plenty of past memories and to have wonderful, fond memories. The question is, how do we use those? Are we staying in the past? Or do we use those past memories to keep us moving ahead and working for the kingdom of God? I've mentioned before, and you guys laughed at me, when I told you I was a member of the band in high school. I was a band geek. And I always remember being a part of the marching band. And it's okay, Bethany, you can laugh out loud. She's holding it back there. Had the big high hat and everything. I was quite a sight. Anyway, I always remembered at band practice, whenever you were preparing, for the marching band, there was that thing called marching in place, where we would just stand, and it just seemed like we would practice that for hours, just in there marching and marching and marching without ever getting anywhere. Just marching in time. A lot of us tend to do that in life. We don't move with time. We're just kind of marking time. And we're not progressing. God wants us to use the memories that we have. He wants us to use these things because that is what David did. The story we read here about David was how he used the events of his past to gird himself up to be used by God. When Anna Maria was on those moving sidewalks in Munich, and I needed Anna Maria to come to where I was because she would get too far away and it would be dangerous. I didn't want her to fall and hurt herself. If we got too close to the end of the sidewalk, she was too little to take that step to get off. But there were times where I needed Anna Maria to pay attention to me and to do what I told her to do. And there were two things that I could do to make that happen. One was I could pick her up and I could take her where I knew she needed to go, where she was safe, so that I was in absolute complete control. The other option was to reach down and to take her hand and to lead her little feet in the steps that she needed to take. And she would fight against me. And there were times where I had to hold and pull a little more firmly, because I was her dad and I wanted to make sure she was safe. We, as Christians, are treated the same way by God. Sure, He could just pick us up and carry us and control us, but God wants us to learn how to take those steps. And He takes our hand and He leads us and guides us in the way that those steps should be taken. So that we're not just standing there marking time like a member of the band, but so that we are progressing and that we are moving forward. And that fifth point in your note is counting your blessings. David remembered that God had given him strength to defeat both the bear and the lion. Would he not do the same with this giant? But it is more than just counting your blessings. You got some more blanks there, don't you? It's counting your blessings and remembering God's victories. Remember the times that you were obedient to God and He was faithful. When I think about the blessings that we have received over the last year, when I look out over this congregation, I can see you without the aid of glasses or contacts. And I've told you about the wonderful doctor in Dayton who, because I was a missionary, gave me LASIK eye surgery and didn't make me pay one dime for it. What a blessing. As I have been eating lately, and I have been chomping down on food, I have got 5 new crowns in my mouth that I had to have. You all, we told you that story too about we had to have this dental work done to go with the International Mission Board. And I think about those 5 crowns worth over $5,000 in my mouth that I did not pay one penny for because of a Christian dentist who, because we were missionaries, wanted to help take care of us. When I think about Anna Maria's E. coli infection and how she is completely healed of that infection, how I remember the very first month that Nino needed to go to the doctor just happened to be the very first month that Urban Crest had decided to put us on their insurance. How the very last month that Anna Maria was covered by Medicaid was the month before Urban Crest put us on their insurance. These are not my victories. I had nothing to do with them. Each of them came about because of a blessed God who blesses His children. I could have lived many years, the rest of my life, with contacts and glasses. I didn't have to have that eye surgery. We could have taken a big chunk of money out of savings and taken care of our dental work. There are a lot of children who are living with the effects of having endured an E. coli infection. But God blessed. Did He have to? Of course not. Does that mean He's going to bless next time? Absolutely not. Does it mean that I can live for Him? Without question. These blessings remind me of who God is and who I am. If you remember one of the first sermons that I preached here, I told you the two things in life that I am 100% sure of, that there is a God and that it ain't me. And it ain't you either. These things, these blessings that have come from God, they remind me of my place. They remind me to get off of my high horse where I have no reason to be in the first place and to get on my knees, the position I should be from in the first place. They remind me that God is God and that Tom is creation. When you think about your past, when you think about the things God has done in your life, do you remember the victories that God has done in your life and use those as David did to face your next giant? Do you let those be the encouraging factors that remind you who God is and His omnipotent power to defeat that giant? Or do you reside in the past, staying behind the times, regretting your past sins, wasting time, and not being what God wants you to be? Write today's worries in the sand, chisel yesterday's victories in stone. What you do with yesterday is up to you. And I know that each and every one of us here today, our yesterdays are filled with both triumphs and tragedies. There's not a person here today who hasn't had an abundance of both. The question is, which ones are you focusing on? Are you pressing on? You ever remember being kids, and when you were kids and you were playing games, I just about any game that you can play, we always had this thing called a do-over. Y'all remember do-overs? If you just didn't do very good your first time, it was kind of like getting a second chance. And you know, I just always thought, why could God not have just given all of us just one do-over in life? Why couldn't we just have one? But life does not come with any do-overs. We are forced to live with our past, be what it may. The question is, are we living like Paul? Because Paul, in that passage, was basically saying, you know what? I don't need a do-over. Because I've got a God who has dealt with all of that in the past. And listen to His words again. Forgetting what is behind. Straining towards what is ahead. I press on to win the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You don't need any do-overs. Yeah, they'd be fine. We've got a God who's taken care of it and dealt with it. So today, the invitation is an opportunity for you to I'm not really sure what to do. For you to maybe just say, okay, God, I'm ready to let go of that past. I'm ready to let go of those regrets. You forgive me for those sins, so I'll forgive myself too. Take my hand, God. Lead me in the steps that I need to take as I follow your lead. Whatever decision you would make, the invitation is your time to do that. Let's pray. Father, God, I thank you that you are a God of second chances, that you love us. God, that you have a perfect plan and a perfect path for us to follow. Forgive us whenever we go our own way, whenever we just start marking time and we get stuck in the past. Father, give us the freedom like David to take up a stone, to forget about the past, and to move forward and look our giant in the face and take one of those smooth, round stones and just let it fly against the giant that stands opposed to the Lord, the God of Israel. Our Lord and our Savior. In your precious name we pray. Amen.